It's another week with Phil and Brad and myself, Paul Muller. It's the Hour of Truth, and I'm just still watching the levels. Yes, the bars are really moving, so we are on the air. Sweet. And I'm wearing a headset. Why am I wearing a headset? It is a thing from the from this service this morning. The scripture we were looking at was Luke in chapter 11, and the thing that strikes me about the way Jesus ministers here is that there's nothing subtle about it.
No.
He doesn't leave anything hanging out there as questionable. And, you know, at the end of the passage, at the end of the chapter, he starts talking about the religious, the pious bunch that they are. The only traditions that they have preserved were the traditions of visible things that separated them from the rest of the people. They were all about form and no substance. They were about the maintaining the traditions of the fathers. And Jesus says, the traditions of the fathers that you're maintaining were the wrong ones. The traditions that you're maintaining are their rituals. They don't show the righteousness of God. They don't show the mercy of God. They don't minister grace. And it says, you know, and he starts with the woe unto you, for you build the graves, really, of prophets. Your fathers killed them. I'm reminded about Elijah after, you know, the great demonstration of with the prophets of Baal. He runs from Jezebel, right?
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh my God, I'm not any better than my fathers. You know, he thought better of himself than he ought. But when he realized that he was no better than his fathers, that's when the Lord could actually use him. You know, and these people, these scribes and these Pharisees, think they're better than their fathers. And when you, it depends on which father you're talking about. If the father was Abraham believed God and was reckoned to him as righteousness.
That's right.
Amen.
If they'd kept that tradition, that would have worked. That would have been enough. But you were going to say something?
Oh, yeah. You know, I liked where you started this morning. Wherein the Lord said unto them, on 11:39, and the Lord said unto them, how do you Pharisees make the clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness? You know, I look at that, and I was actually listening to that in the Matthew version of it.
Yeah.
You know, throughout this week, sometimes I pick a disc, I'll listen over it throughout the week, and I'm listening to that, and I'm going, I'm guilty.
Yeah.
I'm guilty. I'm no different. You know, and that's where you can receive the gospel.
Yeah.
If you tend to justify yourself when things are confronted to you on these things, you're rejecting the gospel. But if you take that which is given to you and you go, you know, I'm guilty. As Elijah did. And that's what reminded me of that. As Elijah did.
That's right.
Then you can receive that grace and that mercy. And then you can be converted from that. As Steve was talking.
And if you look at what happened with Elijah, here you've got one of the great prophets of God who just come through, was it 400 dead prophets of Baal that he slew, and fire came down from heaven. And then he told the Lord, he said, I am no different than my fathers. And that broke him. And what you're talking about, Phil, you've come to the Lord, you serve Him, and yet you're still being broken.
Yeah.
You're still being, it doesn't stop. You know, a humble and a contrite heart, I will not despise. And the Lord's faithful to us to continue breaking down our own self-will and our own pride. So what we're looking at here is really the grace and the mercy of God. But it sure doesn't feel good when it hits you, you know?
Yeah, we got in 11:48, he says, truly you bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed the prophets, and ye built their sepulchres. That's not a good thing. You know, therefore also the wisdom of God, therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation.
Davey's got a note just popped up there.
Yes. He said he's no better than his fathers because he's scared of the woman. I almost said something else.
Hey, I got 11:48, Luke 11:48.
Yeah.
Says, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. These are the sepulchres of the people that killed the prophets, or of the prophets that were killed?
Prophets that were killed.
Okay, that's how I always read that. just something that crossed my mind.
Yeah, I heard the wheels squeaking when it was crossing. Therefore, also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and they'll kill and persecute, that the blood of the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. You know, this generation being held to account, Jesus is holding them to account here.
That's right.
From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you lawyers, for you've taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering ye hindered.
Yeah, and the way they hindered was they were so focused on the outward things that they missed the intent of the law and the traditions that were handed down. Everything in the law was a schoolmaster, and the things that the children of Israel were commanded to do, the feasts and so forth, were all to show them Jesus Christ when He came, that they'd be able to see it. And they got so hung up on the outward, they completely missed the point.
And that's an interesting phrase. Woe unto you lawyers, for you've taken away the key of knowledge. What is the key of knowledge?
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Yeah. They really became so focused on being seen, being owners of the law, keepers of the law, of being seen, being religious,
of being righteous, to be seen as righteous men,
that they missed the righteousness from God simply by believing Him. the simplicity. The offense is that it was really that simple.
Now, so if you've got somebody that's keeping the law, they're going to look better than we do. Somebody that's serving Christ from the heart may be doing or not doing things that would be hard to understand for somebody from without.
Ye entered not in. Into what? A relationship. I believe you, Lord. I need you, Lord. And hindered those that were
seeking after
on their way. It doesn't. The indictment can't get any worse than that. Is you, not only were going on yourself, you kept others from going in.
Yeah, and it goes on to this day. That's the Judaizers. Davey says the key to knowledge is humility.
Well, yeah, it is. And it definitely wasn't something that they spent a whole lot of time fostering. They were very...
Well, you have outward acts of humility, things that look humble, you know, praying in the streets and things.
Fasting and all this other kind of stuff.
I mean, it's easy to point the finger at them, but the finger will come right back to us. Davey says, when you introduce pride, you take away the key. So the key to knowledge is humility. The introduction of pride takes away that key.
Right.
So if you're doing the outward things, then you can convince yourself that you're...
Worthy.
Worthy and upright.
And there's nothing that can take away your ability to receive.
Well, and the thing is darn sneaky.
Yeah.
You can get wrapped up in pride and not even know it. And that's one reason that we got to function as a body. You need somebody from the outside saying, hey, man, where's your head? What are you doing?
Right. And, you know, they're still trying to pick a fight here.
They're fixing to get one, too.
He said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently. The note says that it means to argue, come against, and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him, seeking to catch him, catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him.
And you know, and that's the one he called them to account.
Yeah.
And they wanted to justify. And the one that the Father sent, they're rejecting. Just as the prophets that were before them and the apostles that came down before them and they killed and slew like the fathers did, that's why that's going to be on their head, because they're doing the same thing and they're doing it with Jesus right now. And he's calling to them to account for what they're doing, leaving it wide open for them to see it and everybody else. And honing in on right their intent of what they're doing.
Yeah. You know, the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of the, you know, what we're talking about of the key of knowledge is simply pride blinds. It, you know, and as Steve put in the chat, and following what Davey put in there, the Pharisees were very prideful in their exercise of piety. It was all about them and not all about the Lord. And
can I take off on Steve's note there about pride blinds?
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, I've gotten off and not known. Just color me clueless, man. Just. And I remember one time Ricky came to me and he said, "Well, you need to do this and that." And I went, "I'm going to do it." He goes, "No, you don't need to do it because somebody's telling you to do it. You need to do it because you know it's the right thing." And I said, "Well, I try not to be offensive to you, But I don't really understand what you're saying. Honestly, I don't agree with what you're saying. But having just gone through 14 months of living hell with being sick, I'm not even going to get close to the edge of that cliff. So I'm going to do what you're telling me to do, even though I don't even understand or agree with it. And one of the things that made me think that was something Scotty Stevens had said when he was down, was that sometimes it's in the doing of things that the understanding comes. And Rick, he kind of didn't like that, but he said, you're going to do what you're going to do. So I did the right thing and got a right result. And in the doing of it, the understanding came to me. And that is that pride blinds. I think it's possible to listen to the people around you and follow through on it, and the Lord will meet you in it. I'm not saying that's the better way. But anyway, that's just an example of something I went through a couple of years back.
Well, humility presumes that they're right.
Yeah, another thing Ricky had said is if somebody comes to him and says, essentially, no, you're all wet, his initial response is, I'm probably all wet. I better really look into this and decide whether that's the case. It's a healthy place to start, for sure.
Well, anyhow, while all this is going on in chapter 11, verse 1 of 12, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. You know, this is a real good testimony where the Pharisees are.
And they were standing there when he said that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, they were.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, and that, you know, I just, it, next verse. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do.
All right, I'm not
That's
there.
That's the end of it.
I'm not there, man. I'm afraid of people that want to kill what's left of this body.
But I could understand their sentiments.
You had to, didn't you?
Yes.
You had to.
Yes, I did.
You know, I'm sorry, man.
That's, well, you know what I think about that, too, is that, you know, where he talks to them later on, and I forget what verse he goes, if I had not come, they would have not had no cloak for their sin.
Right.
You know, he came and exposed them for what they were, and that's what he's doing right now.
Yeah,
that's what he's declaring right now.
That's right.
Yeah, because
he
it's not
perfectly, but he never violated the law, but he did it right with grace, with mercy, with love, shown that light.
This, the thing here is, you know, and I. I think it's in one of the other Gospels, but I think it's when he's charging those he's sending out. But here it's in a different context, and it's like here it's talking about nothing. You haven't done anything in secret. There's not going to be. You're going to be. It's not going to be dealt with. If you're going to be the Lord, you can't hide. You can't hide
from the Lord.
You're going to be held account. And in the other context, it's like that which you've received from me, you're going to proclaim from the housetops. So it's about preaching the gospel in one. In that context, in this context, it's more of of being laid naked and open with the God with which we have to will and to do or whatever.
And you know, he exposed them that
Hebrews. Yeah.
The faith is in God and in his mercy and in his righteousness. Where Abraham believed God and has counted him to righteousness. And the Pharisees were about looking good about what they can do. You know, and then it's exposing them for who they are here and making it all about them.
The worst.
And not about God.
The worst part about that is when you have a structure like that and you can get satisfied with yourself, there's no worse damage you can do to yourself than to become satisfied with yourself.
And
regard yourself as being worthy.
Exactly. And this is where even there's grace here for them to be pulled to account.
Yeah.
Look, that they can humble themselves and repent of this now that they're exposed. I mean, there's the grace right there for them. If they would receive it.
And it was grace because, you know, I can't remember where it was, but it's talking about the Lord speaking to the Pharisees. It says the power of God was there to heal them. He had love and compassion even on them. Although the way it came out, I'm sure they didn't see it that way. I mean, think about, okay, you get messed up in pride, you're doing something wrong, and then very often the way the correction comes locally is that somebody will say, why did you do that? Or why did you say that? Well, and then they'll start, you know, pushing your buttons a little bit, and it'll come back almost always to pride and arrogance. But it ain't no fun when you're on the receiving end of it. But one thing that makes it possible to receive it is, certainly as I've stayed through the years, I know that the guys talking to me, or the ladies sometimes, Robin in particular, I know they care about me. You know, I know, and I guess these guys didn't realize that Jesus actually did love them. I was trying to get them fixed. Just a thought. Something else I was thinking of about correction. You know, you pick up phrases and stuff once in a while that sort of stick with you. I had a buddy when he was talking to a person, and they would say, well, you're going to have to show me that in the Scripture. He'd say, well, you want me to take the time to look it up and we can read it and believe it together, or are you just pulling my chain? That works pretty good. Kind of like Davies, well, why do you think that? Or who told you that? Where did you read that? You try to get people to track back, you know, to see why they think what they think.
But the direction that you know Jesus is taking this is, I say unto you, my friends, in verse 4, be not afraid of them, kill the body, and after that, there's nothing else. There's nothing left. That's the limit to the damage they can do. But I forewarn you that. I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. This is again, if these people, if the religious of the day, if the pious of the day had fear of the Lord, they couldn't dwell, they could not stand in pride. They couldn't.
Yeah, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the jumping off point.
And it's like the end of that, that pride is you're absolutely blind. And the end of that is the end. I just don't know how else to put it. It's
way ugly.
Yeah. But you know, he is still ministering grace and mercy, and the provision in verse 6 are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings. And not one of them is forgotten before God. God is still good. God is good.
Well, and he's in the details too.
The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are more valuable than many sparrows. To the Lord, we matter.
Amen.
Mattered enough that this Jesus is going to have to bleed for us.
And one thing that caught me in six, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? And God loves his own creation. And if I needed to kill something to eat it, or it was menacing me or whatever, that's one thing. But sitting there with a pellet gun plinking birds off a telephone wire, that's just dead wrong. Because that's telling you right there that, I mean, God's aware of the stuff. His creation has value to him.
Way to take a stand, Brad.
What?
Way to take a stand. You know, shooting sparrows was being mean, yeah, and ugly. I know.
I didn't sign up for this, man.
I loved it.
I'm glad I could brighten your day a little bit. Okay, next verse. Oh, let's talk about the hairs on your head. Never mind. Never
mind. You want to go there? You really want to go there?
No, I know.
Didn't say he gives. He doesn't say he cares for the hairs on your head. Says he cares for the sparrows.
Well, look, you said he cares about everything, and I'm pointing out he's in the details. And if you follow that out, I mean, he cares about even a sparrow.
He says the hair on your head is numbered.
Yeah.
That's shiny.
All right, next verse. Next.
Oh. And right now it's number one.
No, it's verse 8.
Thank you, Brad. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. You know, that's an important... that's an important testimony. He wants... You need him to...
You need to be confessed in heaven. You need your name confessed in heaven.
Yeah, otherwise... Your testimony of yourself is not worth a whole lot.
Yeah, and that confession to him before men is not just the outward, you know, Jesus is Lord. It's things like, I don't falsify values on gauge and machine process capability studies. And the guys I work with know that. Boy, it's easy to do. You know, I mean, it's all the little things. We're back into the details. Commitment of your life is commitment of your whole life.
Don't jump in it?
Yeah, well, you said interesting, yeah, because the testimony of yourself is not very good, Paul. And, you know, that's just it. I mean, we all come from
good one, eh?
Really bad situations. And it's all about how the Lord was good to us when we didn't deserve it.
And still don't.
And we still don't. But the Lord is that good.
Amen.
That's what we got to confess before men. Is how good the Lord's been to us. Our testimony of ourselves is jail.
Yeah.
That. Pride, violence.
Pride, violence.
Yeah. Death, almost. Have him changing the testimony. The testimony is really not good.
Not good.
Might as well throw fornication in the list since we're here.
I mean, just all the above.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what's really cool and encouraging is when you see that, like with your brothers around you, because we're pretty involved. And sometimes, like, I step on your toes, or Jeff's toes, or whatever. And then y'all will come back, and it's all right. You know, you forgive me. I mean, you can really see the love of Christ in the people around you sometimes. It's uplifting. It's good. All right, where are you now?
I'm contemplating responding to Gail in the chat, but... she made a very terse statement that counting the hairs on your head doesn't take very long. So that's all I'm going to say. And something about, and we're still not good.
Amen.
Duh. We certainly aren't.
I like what you had to say about that a couple of sermons ago, Paul, is about the detail of which God has loved us. The detail which Jesus has loved us.
Yeah.
You know, are we paying attention to that detail of loving one another?
Right.
Are we paying that much detail about being about His gospel and His will when we go out there in the world?
Yeah.
To other people and what they need.
It is.
That's what He's rattling the Pharisees about, is they're making it all about them and the pride and the hypocrisy and about what they could do.
And even the law itself.
And not about how good the Lord is.
Right.
And ministering the need of Jesus Christ in their situations or whatever it may be.
You know, the detail.
And you know, that's Jesus is doing that to them, is telling them you need it and you're full of hypocrisy and you need grace. And the way you're going is wrong. And you're going to be accountable as all the prophets I sent before you. That blood's on your head unless you repent.
Yeah, like in verse 5, he says, I will forewarn you who you shall fear. I mean, this is not just I'm warning you. I'm making sure you know before you get there. Like, come on, man. You're on the wrong path. Make the change. That's love.
And the, you know, the detail of Jesus was, I do only that which the Father has shown me.
Yeah.
Yep, tuned in the moment.
And it's where we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Some of us have had spotty sort of a hit and miss sort of thing going on there. But
hit and miss thing going on. Had it? You mean have? I mean, I have that spotty hit and miss thing going on. Seems like consistently. I mean, you're being real polite over there, Paul. I mean, I'm just saying.
So some of us. Some
and I'm saying me. I'm not saying us, but me.
Yeah. See, Steve's note there. He said it's true that Christ fulfilled the law.
Because we couldn't.
Yeah, it's also true that He fulfilled the law because we could not.
And, you know, that was one of the things He was telling the Pharisees. You don't keep it yourself.
Say that again, I'm sorry, what?
This is one of the things He told the Pharisees was, you know, you don't keep the stuff yourself. And you sit there putting burdens on people that they can't bear.
Yeah, it came up again with the apostles.
Yeah,
Peter and Paul back and forth. You're telling them to keep the law, and we can't do it. You call it the ministration of death.
Yeah, that's right. And let's see. The next verse. Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven.
And how did they brush up on blaspheming the Holy Ghost?
I got that. That's when he says, the works that you do of the devil.
Yeah, you attribute the action of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Is that the case there, Paul?
It's even...
I know, I believe that's in Matthew where it says it in Scriptures, because they say the works that he did are of the devil. You're of the devil.
Yeah. And John.
You cast out devils by Beelzebub.
Beelzebub, yeah.
And that's where they were blaspheming.
It's even more than that. It's knowing that that's not true.
And doing it anyway.
Doing it anyway.
Okay, and I'm glad you said that, because if you minister to people through time, you will probably bump into somebody that thinks they blaspheme the Spirit and they count themselves out of the hope of God's grace. So what you're saying, Paul, is to blaspheme the Holy Ghost is not only to attribute the action of the Holy Spirit to Satan, but to understand that that is the case. It's not done in ignorance. Is that fair? Because I'm thinking, I'm witnessing to some guy, bringing him the light, and he says, man, I'm just without hope. I blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I think that's...
Well, the idea that there is no hope is denying the grace, denying the the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God is available to you. And that the testimony of Scripture is it is. So,
I'd love to see that broken down pretty good.
Well, you know, the other thing that I was that's in mind where you said, and knowing that it's not the case. Yeah. Remember when they say, we be not born of fornication?
Right.
They knew this scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They knew that he was the one sent from God.
Yep.
They didn't want to lose their position.
That's right.
And they knew better. And still yet blasphemed that.
It kind of reminds me. Just like they had their hands on the steering wheel. We control the steering committee. The steering committee is going to steer y'all right into the tank.
Sounds like Congress.
Yeah, yeah. How do I get my name off of this committee? I don't want to be there. I've seen where this is going. It's not going to work out well. Oh, me. And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take you no thought of what thing you shall answer or what you shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Now, that's also... An interesting track to follow, you know, from verse 10. You can get in trouble knowing that you're attributing works of grace and mercy and miracles and whatever else that comes out from the Holy Ghost to being a devil.
Right.
But this same Holy Ghost is going to give you utterance to when you have to stand and give an account of your faith. To give testimony to how good the Lord is.
Amen.
He's going to meet you. Why would you even dream of turning that into an enemy? He's your best friend. You know, why would you reject that? Why would you blaspheme against it? Why would knowing better? Why would you do that?
The Holy Ghost glorifies Jesus.
That's his job. That's it.
And that might be the case where, you know, and whoever shall speak the word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven.
I can take it.
I can take it. But the one that's glorifying me? No.
Yeah.
No.
Let's see. And one of the company said, and the master speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Oh, gosh.
Help me out, Lord, with this one.
Yeah.
My brother's a jerk. I mean,
yeah,
come on. Lord, he's unfair, clearly. You know, set him straight, Lord. Jeez. Just look at what he's doing.
Oh, me. And he said, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? You're not exactly getting the point here.
Yeah, he breaks it down pretty good in the next verse.
Oh. And he said unto him, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth.
Yeah, man, that's a tough one.
And you know, as the guy goes, oh, nailed him, honed right in, like I was talking about,
really.
Honed right in, right on the thing that was his issue.
Yeah.
Was he coveted that? That was important to him. More important, that's why he got Jesus to try to back him up on this one.
And you're seeing...
And he honed right in what's in his heart.
you're seeing the operation of the gospel.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.
Nice problem.
And then and he said, this I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods in that new barn. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God saith unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.
Like that.
You won't care to expound on that at all?
Oh, it's waiting for you. No. He's got all these goods. Much and he laid it up for what? Himself?
Yeah.
He didn't say, Lord, I'm blessed. Thank you. What would you like for me to do with it? Instead, he coveted it to himself. Yeah. He was just talking about coveting, right?
Right.
He coveted it to himself. He laid it up to his own and says, man, I'm in good shape. I'm going to sit and I'm going to have a good time. And no, Lord, what would you do with the good things that I have from you? What would you have me do with it? It's yours. The abundance came from yours. The whole earth is yours. You created it.
Yeah.
The fruit of the ground is yours.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. What would you have me do with this? And instead,
that's what we were talking about before. It's the same old, you turn your life over to the Lord. That means he's making a decision now. You're not, right?
Right.
How's that working for you? It scares the ever-loving crap out of me. That's all I'm saying.
And, you know, he's still working on my heart where areas I have not done that. And that I don't even know. And he slowly takes those things off. Because he's good.
And Christ, who is our life, shall appear.
Amen. And he wants us. You know, Jesus walked around in that perfected love. He was perfect in his love for the Father and for others. And he wants us to have that same holiness. We can be perfected in love by his love if we will allow him. And him making him Lord is choosing him and making him Lord. And he will work that out of us. And that's what we have to share with people. Not our love, his love.
That's right. Where are you now?
I am looking for something. So y'all need to carry it while I'm looking.
Alright, we were talking about this rich man and the fruit of his labor. Solomon said in the Proverbs, I know there is nothing better for a man than this, that he should eat and drink and enjoy the fruit of his labor, for this is the gift of God. And Christ said, give alms of all you possess and all things are clean to you. That may have it was tithes, but I think it was alms.
He was just
so if you've got it's
in
good
41
to, you got it in front of you?
Right, yeah, it's just Luke, we went over it this morning. But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you.
All right, so if you're giving alms, you've already tithed, you've already given offerings, and now you're giving alms. So you're working, you're being blessed, there's going to be fruit to your labor, right? And all labor there is profit. So it's a right and good thing to enjoy the fruit of your labor. The problem is, like you were saying with this guy, he was closed-handed with it. So this is the gospel. It goes back to the heart. Christ himself kept the law. The law was a good thing. But the intent, what the Pharisees did with it, was wrong. They were using it as a means to establish their righteousness and not as a way to point to the grace of God. So this kind of stuff here, and this is why I keep thinking about the benefit of having outside eyes on what you're doing.
because we could just get lost in this stuff.
Jesus was a minister of reconciliation. I offer you reconciliation with the Father. And you mentioned something that I wanted to get back to. It, Paul talks about that ministry of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians. Let's see, where was I going to go? What verse am I going to start at?
So you're in 1 John chapter 4, right?
4:14.
1 John 4, verse 14.
Right. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Now, that's a lot in that. I mean, just a lot in that.
I really, instead of going to Peter this morning, wish I would have went there.
Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
Well, then I stand convicted, if not condemned, on that one.
What was it, Dave? You were saying the fear is food
for the devil.
Why would you want to feed that? Let his love be made perfect. Let his love be perfected in us. That as he is now, we are in the world. That is awesome, but it's an awesome accountability and responsibility. You know, it's one of those things where you know all what the scripture says, yeah, and you agree with it, yeah, and you believe it, yeah. Well, that says something there.
It is an accountability. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's a charge. We're supposed to be as he is right now. Well, what is he right now?
He's love.
He's Savior. He's Lord. With him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Without him,
I can do nothing.
And that's where, you know, when the part on Hebrews this morning hit me so strong was in Hebrews 12. It says, endure the chastising. He can perfect that love in you. And you can be like that if you allow him. You know, that's the part where a lot of times I've ran away from was the chastisement.
When he's hammering the Pharisees there, he's not doing it because he hates them.
No.
My mom had that verse posted on the refrigerator when I was a kid. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. But it didn't mean what this says. It meant you're supposed to be, you know, kind and gentle and polite and all that. But this love that God is what you're talking about. That was the love of the Pharisees. And this love of God is a love of choice, and it's a love that's dedicated to the benefit of the people around you. And sometimes the way it comes across is not kind and polite.
It's a love decision that says, not my will, but thine. It ain't what I want to do today. It's what you want me to do, Lord, today. It's because I'm supposed to be in this world as you are. In me.
Right. And you let that surgery go on in your heart. You got...
To be afraid to minister accountability to people is wrong. As I was talking to Lisa about, you know, thinking the Lord wants to do something, and she's, if I spend too long sitting here thinking about it, I'm going to think myself right out of doing it.
Yeah. Been there.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we are to be in this world as He is in this world, His testimony of Himself was that He did always what the Father told Him.
Right.
That's that.
And we were just reading it. We were just reading it. You know, you didn't have to worry about whatever situation you're in. The Lord's going to give you, the Holy Ghost is going to give you utterance of what you need to say in that. And you need to trust Him in that.
Yeah, and you not only don't have to be concerned about walking into a court or some kind of a horrendous situation like that. You don't have to be concerned about walking into a point of ministry with somebody that's hurting, and you're going to see somebody and you have no clue what you're going to say or do. But you don't need that clue. All you need is Christ at your side. We've seen that a time or two.
And trusting in Him.
Yeah, and He'll show up every time.
Every time. You look at Joseph, it's been my favorite thing I've been going over with the girls. It's the situations that Joseph in was not pretty, but you can think about Paul, the apostle, and Peter, and were not pretty, but they trusted the Lord. The Lord delivered. They looked at the opportunity to minister in the worst of times.
Amen. And these guys were men just like we're men. You know, Elijah's testimony of Himself where we got going this morning. It's not like you're going to suddenly not cast a shadow in the daylight or something. You're called to be a man after God's own heart. You're still going to be a man. God will meet you in it.
It is, you know, it's a testimony of how great He is that we could even partake of any of this.
You know, and that's, you know, and when, you know, Hebrews 12:10, if you don't mind me reading this, Paul.
Go ahead.
And Hebrews 12:10 says, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure." He's talking about our natural fathers.
Right.
But he says, "But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness."
Right.
That's what that chastisement does. But we, it's our choice to submit to Him as Lord in these things and let Him do that.
Yeah, and that's
and submit and humble yourselves according to the chastisement that comes upon it.
It yields the what, the peaceable fruit of righteousness.
Right, and that's
it enables you to be able to put on His righteousness.
Yeah, but that verse says afterwards. Yeah. Right? No chastisement for the present is joyous, but afterwards. And you're talking about enduring the chastisement, buddy. It can be months and months of endurance.
It doesn't have to be.
Does not have to be.
That's, I mean, that's the choice. Well, you're going to humble yourself, receive it or not. You know,
depends now on, no depends on if you need to be a box of rocks or, you know.
I'm easy way or hard way.
Why are you looking at me?
Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby.
Yeah, you got to be willing to be exercised thereby. That's the couple of months or less, depending on the individual that it can take.
It's like them deciding to examine Jesus by scourging. What are you going to do? You're going to see. I can tell you what's going to happen when you scourge him. He's going to get cut. He's going to bleed. He's going to have stripes on him. You know, but that was a course of it that enduring the suffering would get them to speak truth. It's like the torch of the rack and all this other kind of stuff is really what that was about. We'll examine. This is the test. We're going to examine him and see if he's going to speak truth to what we're accusing him of. And of course, he didn't go there.
Yeah, it's like how they used to examine witches. If you float, you're a witch, and if you drown, you weren't. So I don't know.
He didn't justify himself. No. Was perfectly innocent.
No. Well, that's not so easy.
But what we're talking about is him chasing us to get rid of the unbelief and the lack of love that we have in us. That we may be able to walk as he walked, as John talks about.
As he is, we are.
We have peace with God.
Absolutely. I think we've about exhausted that one. And,
I've had a good time hanging out with you guys here.
And the other thing I'd like to tag on to this, sorry, is that he can perfect that. So if we get to heaven, we can also stay there.
Yeah, that's
you know what I mean.
That's the ultimate.
You got Paul, where he's like, I'm not ready yet, but then you have another testimony. All right, I ran my course.
Yeah. That's absolutely true.
You know.
Well, it's been another week with the Hour of Truth. I hope we've done a decent job. Brad has left the room, so I'm guessing I'm going to be saying goodbye for Brad and goodbye for me, and we will talk to you next time right here on the Hour of Truth.
God bless everybody.